Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Amen. I just realized during worship as I'm lifting my hands that I am doing illustrations in this message today with my hands, and I didn't even test this mic out today. So I'm doing a test right now. So I had to run to the green room and take the mic off of Pastor Dave and put it on my ears. And so, yes, we just flow with it. Y'all thought we were a perfect church, right? Come on, there's no perfect church, right? But we do love the power. How many of you enjoyed the anointing of the power of the Spirit today? Wasn't that amazing? And I know that His power and presence are still here today for the word that we have this morning. Are y'all ready? Already? Well, Father, we thank You that in this house, God, You have already touched our hearts. You have touched our lives. So I pray in the name of Jesus that every ear is open to hearing Your word. Lord, I pray that You take this message and, Lord, that You divide it into hundreds of ways. Every ear that is listening, God, I thank You that we will capture what Your Spirit is saying to us today. We give You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome this morning. For those of you that may not know me, I'm Pastor Cherie. My husband's Pastor Dave. We're the lead pastors of this amazing church, and we love, love, love you. We love being here. And we've been in a series called The Fam, and we're talking about family. And Pastor Dave did an amazing job last week in talking to the marrieds that are in the house and online, and those that are single and wanting to be married, but even the young people. I heard some great reports this last week that the students of the house were like taking notes feverishly. Yes, I hear the students. Because it's like, man, we needed to know some of that stuff. And that's what we love about LifeLink. That's what we love about our Sunday mornings is it's a family. We have every age group, every race. This is what heaven looks like. You know what I'm saying? Just look around the room. This is heaven on earth is what I like to say. And so today we're going to continue that. And I will walk like this around to the pulpit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today we are going to continue the series on family, and we're all about teaching and adding value every single Sunday into the lives of people that are listening. Again, we're not a perfect church, but we sure do. We are desperate people before God. And we say, God, You know who's going to be here. You know who's going to be online. We need You to speak. And so today, we are going to continue this series, and we're going to talk about parents and kids. Parents and students. How many of you are parents in the house? All right. How many of you are somebody's kid? All of us should raise our hands, right? So if you're not currently parenting, this doesn't mean that this message does not apply to you. It will apply to you in ways. If you're an aunt, a grandparent, if you're a life group leader, it's going to make you a better life group leader. If you are a grandparent, which, by the way, did you know today is Grandparents' Day? I think we need to have every grandparent stand to their feet and let's give them an honorable clap. And come on, grandparents. Yeah. Yeah. Woohoo. Don't you love being grandparents? Many of y'all are saying, yes, we can love those babies and send them back home. I love it. I love it. But you know what? You grandparents have done a lot in the lives of your kids, and so you deserve rewards today. I think your kids, if they're grown kids or family, go take grandparents out to lunch. Give them some smooches and love on them today. So we are going to talk about how to parent on purpose. Everybody say it, parent on purpose. And I want to show you, those of you that may not know us very well, maybe it's your first time here or looking online, a picture of my two daughters and my husband and I. I've got two daughters, yes. And one is Lacey, who you just got through hearing, and she's 30 years old. And one is Tori, and she'll be 3 next week. And y'all are like, how in the world did that happen? And look at my face. That will tell you there's all kinds of things that happen in our household. Surprise. But this is, these are my two daughters, and then I have two beautiful granddaughters, 5 and 3. And we have a beautiful family. And I'm not going to go on the Tori story because some of you know that story, and that would just take me all day. But God led my husband and I to adopt this beautiful little girl. We had her at 2 months old, a little drug-exposed little sweet thing, and God opened the door for us to adopt her. And so we've had her almost 3 years now. And so I am on either spectrum. I am a parent of a 30-year-old, and I'm a parent of a 3-year-old almost. And I have a lot that I could share today. Hallelujah. But our goal today is to open our hearts and open our eyes to say, God, speak to me on what we're doing. Because let me just tell you that time matters, right? This is my laboratory. Time matters, and these three cylinders are filled with marbles, okay? And every marble in these cylinders represents a week in the lives of a parent with their child. Now, let me grab my notes and just bring that over here. Cameras, come on over here and follow me. Because I want to make sure I get my numbers right. Okay, so in this jar, this is when you have a baby and they graduate. From the time you bring that baby home and the time they graduate high school, this represents 936 weeks that you have your baby until that little baby gets a graduation diploma. 936 weeks. There's 936 marbles. Yes, they are in there. I can vouch for that. This cylinder represents when you take that little baby home and you've gone through the preschool, the diapers, the whole thing, and then they start kindergarten and all the mamas go, praise God. Kindergarten through graduation, 680 marbles in this jar. That represents 1 week that you have, or all the weeks, 680 weeks that you have with your baby, your child, until they graduate. Those of you that have already gone through those stages, and maybe you have that high school junior at home, if you can see, you may have 100 marbles in this jar left before they actually are being launched into life. And what I'm going to say with this, it's a visual. I love it because you think, oh, it's going to be like this way forever. But those of us that have been through the other end realize, oh, my goodness, I want to spend, you know, it's like, hurry up. We don't have much time left. But I want to encourage us, whether you have been starting out and you are a young parent or those of you that aren't parents yet, every day matters, every week matters, every moment matters. And then when you start young knowing that, your life is going to be rich. Your child's life is going to be rich. Because I want to encourage you to be intentional in every moment, every day. God gave our children for us, right? He gave us, gave our children to us, no one else, but it's our job to prepare them for the launch. You know what I'm saying? The launch. And those of us that know, that have already walked down, don't, how many of you have ever, you know, when you were young, like right now, Pastor Dave asked me the other day, he goes, I don't remember Lacey being this way. When there are so many toys all over the house. I mean, we were empty nesters for 9 years and then adopted. Y'all, we're in our 50s. Come on, we're grandparents, right? And all of a sudden, we have the little toys, the diapers, the formula, all this stuff. And Pastor Dave goes, I don't remember this. I said, well, if you remember back in the day, you were working. It was me at home a lot with everything, and I tried to get it all put together before you came home. But parenting is a blessing, y'all. Parenting is a huge blessing. Parenting is also a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and it'll cost you more than you were even expecting. It will cost you more than you thought, and it's work. But parents, let me just ask you, do you remember the time? I do. Do you remember the time when you would just say, you know, I just want to leave the house now. And so you would say that, I'm going to leave the house. And it would go like this. Until you had kids. And it's like, I'm going to leave the house, but hurry up, come downstairs. Get your backpack. Don't forget to put your shoes on. Did you brush your teeth? You didn't brush your teeth. Hurry up. We're going to be late. Hurry. You're making us late right now. Come on. Stop fighting. Oh, get your water bottle. Oh, my gosh. Okay. What? Oh, you got to sit on the stairs. I'll help you put on your Come on. How many of you parents know what I'm talking about? Yes. And that's just the teenagers. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. Just kidding. But parenting, you know, it's like every season is different. And you think you got it down until all of a sudden there's a new season coming up. We're in the two-year-olds, y'all. Woo-hoo! And that's another thing. Pastor Dave, I don't remember Lacey being this way. And I'm like, well, actually, she's a different personality. Tori's different. Every kid's different. Every season's different. I mean, kids are awesome. They're so sweet, but they can be master manipulators. You know what I'm saying? They can come in and interrogate us in the middle of the night and say, Mom, I need some apple juice. And Mom, I don't want to stay in my bed. And Mom, and they're, you know, they sleep deprivation people. That is their motive in those younger years. They want to break us so that the next day when they say, I want chocolate cake for breakfast, we're like, sure, whatever you want. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, we love them. We love them, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you a scripture. Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are children born to one's youth. Blessed, and the Bible also talks about how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Okay, so God knew that at the time when I was in my 20s, God knew that Pastor Dave and I could only have one in our quiver, because that's pretty much all we could handle. But he also made a way for us to have another one in our quiver, and we are pouring everything we have into that little baby girl, and she is a champion. Yes, she is. And so today, I want y'all to know that as we're talking about this, I'm not talking as an expert. I hope I didn't just mess up this. Let me know. I'm not talking from an expert, because Pastor Dave and I are still growing, even though we're in our 50s and we're grandparents. But I want us to understand that children are a gift from God. But do your kids know that they are a gift from God? Do they know that? Do they know that they are a blessing? See, we're supposed to let our kids know that they are a gift, because Kids don't automatically know that. Kids don't know that they have been born for such a time as this, on purpose, with a purpose and with a destiny. Some of you parents probably have done that, you know, and poured into them, but do they really know that? And I say that because I look at our teenagers and those that are teens in the house, come on, give me a wave. There you go, I see the hands, okay? You know this for sure, that there's a lot of students at your school that don't know who they are, that don't know their purpose, and there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of confusion, because they haven't heard those words. And I'm encouraging us as parents, whether they're little or whether they're 30 years old, is tell them that they are valued and that they are seen and that they are loved by God and by you. Even if you're a foster parent or a parent that is adopted like we do, like we did, it is God has designed us and created us for this season for those children that are in your house, whether they're littles or they're teenagers. And it is our job and responsibility to speak life and destiny into those kids who otherwise would have been told differently and walked differently and would have been in a different situation if it wasn't for you. Which, by the way, if you are a foster parent or someone who's adopted a kid, and maybe they're even grown up, would you stand to your feet? I want to honor you today. Come on. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, y'all. These are amazing people that have a heart that God has given them to open their homes to people that need to hear that value. So students know well enough that, you know, it shows if you haven't heard those words. But parents, we are to pastor our children. We're to pastor our homes. We are to instill value into their lives. So let them know, because see, they're like arrows, okay? And this is where I'm gonna come around, and I had to have special training this morning by the ops in the back, because they were a little afraid of Pastor Cherie maybe needing some guidance in this area. Don't worry, people, the arrow tip is off, and I am not going to do, I'm not actually putting this in here. They told me to fake my way. So, children are like arrows, right? When you have a target, you want your arrow to be straight. You don't want a bent in it, right? But how many of you know that we are born in a sinful nature? Every child, all of us were born with a bent in our arrow. It's called sin. It's called self-centeredness, right? All of the little ones, everything is mine, mine, mine. Mine this. You pick up a toy and they had it and they put it down. Somebody else picks it up. Oh no, it's still theirs. Did you know that? And oh, by the way, everything in the room, it's theirs. Mine, mine, mine. And no, no, no is their favorite word, right? And you talk, and a lot of people are like, oh, aren't they cute? They're just growing up, and they're just so sweet. They didn't get their nap today. That's why they're irritable. Well, sometimes I would like to say, well, they may not have gotten their nap, and they may not have eaten their snack, but a lot of times it's just the heart that we were born into, which is called rebellion, and we all have that. So parents, our job is to help get the bent out of the arrow. Because our job is, we eventually, as through training and so forth, are going to want to launch them in the place where God is wanting them to go. Please don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. But if you have a target in front of you as a parent, in other words, there's a plan.
You know, sometimes we parents kind of just parent, we wing it, you know. Oh, we got this cute little baby. We make sure the nursery is good and we get the diapers and all the stuff that goes with it. But then there's no plan. It's like we just, whatever they act like, then we just kind of react to it. But that's not how God is wanting us to parent. God is wanting us to parent with biblical values. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I got to show you my skills. Oh, there, go back on. So the arrow, if it's in the hands of the warriors, what the Bible talks about with your parents, you have the gift, you have the amazing opportunity to help shape a young child. Well, now, Pastor Cherie, you've adopted Tori. She already has certain DNA in certain things that didn't come from you. So you're just going to have to deal with it. And I'm saying she's in my house under our leadership, the spiritual authority of my husband, and Jesus is Lord of our house. So she's in our quiver, and I've got her in this little bow and arrow, and we're going to help her launch into greatness. We have a target that's in mind that whatever God has shaped her to be, we're going to make sure she gets there. Because the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from that. Now, a lot of times we've been fed by just culture and society that kids are just going to be kids. And you just have to let them be who they are, and they're going to just do whatever they're going to do, and you just got to go with it. And I'm saying the Bible says to train them in the ways of the Lord, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. That means they don't have to depart from it. But Pastor Cherie, what if they've already departed? Was I a failure as a parent? No. God can redeem every single thing. There's a will in the life of a child. And as they get older, you can, I'm telling you, the power of prayer can turn around anything. And God can redeem everything. And if your child is still out there and has the arrow you were aiming for, it actually went a different direction than you intended. Or maybe you were just kind of shooting everywhere because you didn't have a target. God, there is no shame. God still is the author and finisher of our faith and over every child. You are still a powerful parent when you have the power of God inside of you and you declare the things in the spirit. You pray over them with fear and trembling, but that means just you're praying so hard you're just shaking because you don't want to parent fearfully. We are people of God who have the power of God inside of us, and God still has there his eye on your child. Look at somebody and say amen to that. But for those of us that are still having the kids within the home at this point, come on, y'all. We have a responsibility to aim in the right direction that God, not your direction that you think they need to go, but in the direction that God has created for them. We don't want to live through our children, but we want to say, God, as they begin to be trained, God, what do you have in them? What are their giftings? What are their talents? What are their, you know, what do they need to do? I'm gonna make sure that I do the best that I can. And the main thing is to make sure that we model godliness in front of them. We can't make them get in this arrow and say all these things about coming to church and make sure you read your Bible, make sure you do this, if A, we are not modeling that. And it's not a part of our household. If we bring them to church and that's the only time they hear the name of Jesus in the right context, hallelujah, then it won't stick. Amen? So we have a responsibility. We are warriors, and we are the ones that have, they are the arrows in the hands of parents, and it's an awesome responsibility, and we don't have as much time as you think, and that's why every day is a privilege and an honor. I better get back to my notes, because I know that we went a little long in worship, but can y'all give me a little grace this morning for this? Is this good? Is this helping you? Some of the students may go, yeah, my parents are pretty strict. My parents are always down on me. My parents are always whatever. And I just want to say, students, you may feel like your parents are pulling you back and holding you back. Guess what they're doing? They're just preparing you to launch. They're just preparing you to go as far as you can. So it may feel a little restrictive, but let me just say, if you listen to their voice and open your heart to the voice of God, I promise you, you're going to be launched and catapulted further than you could be by yourself. Because let me say, and parents, you can't just put the bow down and then say, oh, go ahead, go do it. Go, little arrow. They can't do it without you. They can't do it without you. That's why God's placed them in your care, is because God created us as parents to help them get in the right direction. Amen. They are arrows. Amen. So one day we're going to release them. One day we're going to release them. So parents, aim the right way. Keep them in the house of the Lord. And just know it's going to take work. Don't fall on the side, but get your aim. It's precision. It's aim. If you want to help them get to the target that God has for them, then every day, prayer. Every day, it's pouring into them. Every day, it is loving them and getting understanding of how to be the best parent that you can be. Not telling your children what to do, but training yourself on how can I be ready for this next season. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly, which is another word for foolishness, is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Now, I know that that's a touchy subject for many, because people look at discipline in different areas, but I'm just going to say the Bible is not against a little spanking. I didn't say abuse. I didn't say leave marks on them. But the Bible says that foolishness is in the heart of a child, and it takes the rod of discipline that will drive it far away. Discipline can also be in other ways, especially as they get older. It's making sure that they don't go the wrong way. It's making sure that there's consistent clarity on the boundaries, consistent clarity on what is expected of them, and consistent discipline when those boundaries have been crossed over. Consistent consequences, consistent love. Those three things is clarity, consequences, and love. And when you, it doesn't matter if they're 2 years, because let me just say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. My hair may be all whacked out a little bit. It's not just because you think I've curled it today. Little Tori Sue is in that twos, going into threes, and the world would say, oh, you're in that stage now. And we are. What her little selfish nature wants to do, but every day, it's prayer. Here's what we're expecting of you. No means no, and yes means yes, and no, this is who we are as the right family, and this is what we do, and this is what we don't do. And she's learning that. See, when babies are little and they're coming up to that fire or the stove and they want to touch it, do we go, let's explain this to her as they're reaching for the hot thing? No, we say no. Maybe spat on the hand, right? Oh, that is so terrible. No, you're causing her not to be burned. Discipline, consistent clarity. I say that with clarity because we can't just spank or do things out of anger, y'all. They have to be communicated to on the level that they are. But it's intentionality. We have to be intentional every single day in prayer. That was one amen. Yep, or an amen. We have to pray consistently. do warfare in the heavenlies consistently, because they are in our hands and they are depending on our covering to protect them from the enemy, to protect them from the enemy. You see, if we are the kind of parents that just kind of parent as an accident, like, oops, oh yeah, oh, I didn't know we were going to be walking through, oh, you know, this and that. And the definition of an accident is a lack of intention or an unplanned event. And so I want to just say, parents, no matter what stage you're in, be intentional. Don't parent accidentally. I should say that even in our marriages or in whatever we are doing, even if you're single and don't do life just by accident. Have a plan. Be intentional. Have goals. Pray. Do you see what I'm saying? This can go for all of us. But some parents feel that raising kids, we're just kind of winging it. And I know many times, if you've come from families that weren't modeled very well, and many of you may not even know your parents, and I'm telling you today, this is why we need, in the house of the Lord, grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins of the body of Christ that pull people in that have not come from homes that have had love and structure. Maybe they've come from abusive homes. Maybe you are fostered and you've come from different homes and you've seen so much. Let me tell you, the house of God, you're in a safe place. And these people around us here today are people that want to be a part of your life. Not perfect people, but people that love God and want to see you thrive. Craig Rochelle, which is a great minister of the gospel, says, everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. So if we switch the words around, every family ends up somewhere, but few families end up somewhere on purpose. Come on, y'all. We are parents on purpose. We parent on purpose. There is a target that God has for your kids and for your family. So where do you want to end up? We got to focus on it. There's a goal. Come on. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. How many of you know we can't do this by ourselves? We need God's help. We need his wisdom. And it's not keeping the bad things out and being fearful. No, don't do that. That's bad for you. But it's, let's do good stuff. It's bringing the good stuff in. It's making apparent to your child that the things of God are good. It's bringing fun things in the house, not just, ooh, bad devil, but it's like, ooh, yeah, great God. Look what God has done. We are blessed. Come on, we're going to go to Disneyland. We are blessed. Let's go to the park. We're going to love God. Y'all know what I'm saying? Instead of, oh, parenting is it. Ooh, I've got to pray. You know, we do need to pray, but we need to bring the presence of God into our homes. That's what your children needs to taste and see. That the Lord is good, and they're gonna see it through you. Because let me just say, there are three types of parenting, and I'm just gonna go right down into this. The number one, the first one is called authoritarian parenting. And this is the type of parenting that looks at their kids, and I've done this, so y'all probably all have known this. It's like, you better obey or else. You know, you're in the store and it's like, you better stop that. Lacey, I used to say, Lacey. You're wanting that external obedience. But how many of you know that you can have the external obedience, but that child could still be, I'm still in charge on the inside. Y'all know what I'm saying? It's like, sit down right now. And it's like, I'll sit down, but I'm really standing up. Y'all know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we have kids that know how to behave on the external, but are rebellious internally. They're standing up. But we don't want just external obedience. Don't just do the thing. We want their heart. We want the internal. We want to train their heart. So then there's another kind of parenting, and it's called the permissive parent. And I've fallen into this as well. And this is where the kid runs the show. You can't go anywhere because the kids are in control. The goal is, I just want them to like me. I want them to be my friend. I want to be my friend. And I remember kind of going when Lacey was getting older in her teenage years, and I'm like, hey, I'm the cool mom, right? Right? And she's like, no. You just want to be like them. You want them to like you. And if we give them enough affirmation, it'll all work out. They'll self-correct eventually. And misbehavior becomes a cute little thing, you know? Like I was saying, oh, aren't they cute? They just need their snacks. They didn't have their nap today. They didn't have that, and it's mine. I'm like, yeah, but they're 17. Come on, when is it gonna be out? You know? Aren't they cute? They're just rebellious, but oh, they just need their Doritos. You know? No, it's called rebellion. And we were born with that, and it's our job to help bend the curve. Everybody say, bend the curve. Then there's our biblical parenting. Biblical parenting is the big difference, because it doesn't just train the external. It doesn't just let them work it out themselves. But the difference is we train the heart. Knowing that you only have a few years, this is something that takes work. It's not easy. It takes work. But let me just give you hope, parents, because I've already been through it. My daughter, who is a worship leader and a pastor in this house, we did not parent perfectly, and she could tell you that. But we trained her in the ways of the Lord. And when she was old, she could choose to depart, but she didn't. And today, now she's leading others into the house, and that can be for your children as well. But we have to focus, and we have to get their hearts young. We can train kids around the rebellious season. And if they're in it right now, don't give up hope, y'all. Don't ever give up hope. You stay strong and in the Lord and the power of His might. You stay on your knees and you call out the destiny over that young man or that young woman's life. They are not lost on God. The thing is when it's time to engage with them, when it's time to address conflict, when it's time to help bend the curve, we can't do that when there is high tempers going on. They do something wrong. Sit down. I would want to talk to you about this right now. And they're like, no way. Come on, teenagers. You know what I'm saying? You're not in the mood to listen to anything when things are up. But we need to consistently be instilling biblical values and ethics every day in non-confrontation moments and in times of conflict. We want them to have a healthy heart. That's the goal of a parent. Is to capture the heart of a child and help train that heart to be healthy. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. When they're 3 and 4, you can't reason with little kids. When Tori's in a tantrum, I can't just reason with her. I'm called to watch over her and help give her boundaries. And when she's calm, my arms are around her. And I say, now here's why we don't do that. In her 2-year-old mind, I have to talk in her language. But it's the same thing in the 16-year-old. The litmus test is when they are able to make their own decisions. Do they choose wisely when you're not around? I believe that kids don't have to go through the crazy rebellious thing. I don't believe that darkness has to take every kid out for a tour for a while. And then when they're 87, they come back and love Jesus. No way. There's a little weak clap there. If we're gonna clap, let's give a big one, yeah? I believe the word. We start them off with the way they should go, Proverbs 22:6, and when they are old, they will not depart. And again, no shame or condemnation if your child has already gone there. You've got tools. You've got the power of prayer. Don't give up. Get on your knees and begin to intercede and train. The word train means to dedicate. We dedicate. Even if they're already out of the house, my 30-year-old is married now with 2 children. My granddaughters, I am on their side. I mean, on their side. I'm on Lacey's side too. But what I'm saying is they have a praying grandparent. They have four praying grandparents that are helping pray wisdom over James and Lacey, that they pour into Emma and Nova, and that they will know exactly. I'm doing warfare in the heavenlies over their house. Come on, y'all. Grandparents, you're not done until you're in heaven. We've got a big thing to do. We need to dedicate to invest in ourselves, go to classes, seek teaching, seek how to pray. You don't know how to pray? I'm going to give you a tool right now. Write this down. The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy O. Martin is a book. She has a book on everything. But The Power of a Praying Parent. And grandparents, there's a tool for you. The Power of a Praying Grandparent. We can do more damage in the darkness and doing warfare in the heavenlies by our prayer than we can by sitting down. And let me tell you something, baby. I'm telling you, the atmosphere, trainers. We want to train our children. And let me say, parents, again, I want to remind you, this is our job as parents, not the church's job. It's not your school teacher's job. It's not the youth pastor's job or the kids ministry's job. This is what I love about my balloons. See, my balloons here, this is the illustration in that one of our favorite colors here at LifeLink is orange, because yellow represents the home, which is you. Red is home. I'm sorry. Yes. The yellow is the church. The light. We're going to bring Jesus, the light. Red is the heart of the home, which is you. You love your children. You are the heart of the home. You put these two together and it makes orange. It takes us partnering together, not one or the other. So parents, you need the church. You need the church. You need to bring them to church. You need to bring your kids to student ministry on Wednesday nights. You need to put them in kids ministry so that they are being taught the word of God. But you need to teach it yourself at home. They need to see you pray. They need to see you worship. That you are the trainer. Do you know what a trainer does? How many of you have worked out? A trainer goes, here's how you do these. Barbells, yeah? Here's how you do these. He puts them down and says, now you do it. That's how we parent. That's how we're supposed to do. This is how we tithe, and here's why. This is how we worship, and here's why. This is what we do in church. This is how we honor people above ourselves, and here's why. This is why we go on missions trips. This is why we do the things we do, because we're the right family. The Wright family, that's our last name if you don't know. This is the Wright family, and we have Jesus as head of this house. So I'm going to train you. I'm going to train you and get you in position for destiny and favor and greatness and beyond your wildest dreams. But we're going to do a little training here. Training is to dedicate, not just on baby dedication Sunday, but every single day. It's work. Look at somebody say, it's work. But you were designed for it. You were made for it. It's hard work. But you know what? It's not in your strength. It's in the strength of the Lord. And we can do it. You can do it. Parenting is focused, intentional, consistent, God-dependent shepherding of the hearts of our kids. And when we start young, trajectory. As we start young, it begins to go and it goes. If we get off a little bit, don't care, don't have time, don't whatever, the arrow begins to go another way. And then all of a sudden they're 18 years old. I didn't plan it this way. And I'm saying, come on back. God can redeem that. But those of you that still have kids in the home, keep focused every day. Not hard on them, life-giving. If you need parenting coaching, Pastor Lacey talked about that connection card. Would you just pull that out right now and write that down? I need parenting coaching. I will personally call and we will start a life group on parenting coaching. Come on, y'all, because we need it. We are, every parent's responsibility is to train every day by three things. Write these down. Modeling, encouraging, and correcting. Say it with me. Modeling, encouraging, and correcting. Encouraging, that means words need to be of life-giving, focused, and direct at times, but never belittling, never harsh, never something that would tear down a child, because it's their heart that we're after. Above all else, guard that heart. So when we're training them, when should we do it? All the time. The Bible says in the way they should go, that means there's a way they shouldn't be going. So we got to train them. We got to stay focused. We got to be on it. In college, yes. Well, I'm just going to break it down. Let me just go. I have to take some of these notes out. Woo! Praise God. Parents, we're training them for, number one, what it means to love and worship God in the home and help them find their purpose. They have that on the screen, I believe. Number two, I would take your camera out and just take a picture of these because I think they're really good points. Number two, parents, we're supposed to train them and help them find and develop their talent and their skill so that they're going to be able to earn a living. How many of you want your kids to live with you for the rest of your life? We want to train them in their specific calling and their skill so that they can support themselves. And number three, we want to help them and train them so that they're ready for a godly mate. And y'all, that is work. That is intentional. I prayed for James when I didn't even know James. I prayed for James before Lacey was even born. I prayed for James. He's older than Lacey, so I know he was in Canada. His parents are Jim and Joy Mercer. I prayed over them before we even knew them. That's a lot of work, but it's worth it. What we want are children that are after the heart of God. And what kids want is freedom. And what we want them to have is responsibility. But we got to know the seasons that they're in and know that we can't miss it. We can't miss out on any of the seasons. In fact, I'm just going to say this. There's four seasons of a kid's life. You can take a picture of this. I'm going to run through really quick. But zero to five, which is the season that Pastor Dave and I are in again. Hallelujah. Right now. It's all about getting control. Everybody say, get control. That means, parents, you need to get control of those little ones from zero to five so that you can train them. Train them on first-time obedience. Not, I'm going to give you to the count of one, two. Come on, Tori, it's two. I'm at two and a half now. You better pick up your toys, Tori. Okay, do you want me to get to three? If I get to three, okay, one, I'll give you another chance. No way, Jose. She's like, in fact, that's what she tells me. No way, Jose. It's giving her permission to rebel and say no to me and do what she wants until I get to three. No, we're training her, and it is hard work right now, y'all. No joke. This morning before church, the enemy loves to come to our house and bring destruction. And we're not, Pastor Dave is not going, okay, Tori, I'm one. No, it's first time obedience. Now, we've had to train her that way, and we've had to give her parameters. At her age, she knows. And then there is that we have to be consistent in the discipline. Never abuse, but focus on that discipline. And here's where we discipline. We discipline when there's lying and when there's rebellion. If they spill something, that's accident. I mean, how many of you still spill things, right? That's kid stuff, but we're training their heart. So what you allow, you encourage. So take control of the culture of your home and reward what you want repeated. Take them to prayer meetings. Take them to church and worship meetings. Come on, y'all. Reward what you want repeated. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And when you honor your fathers and mothers, so they won't become discouraged. Y'all, there's so much more I could say, but ages 6 through 10 is another phase. Training, and this is where you're instilling these values. Instilling the values. You're teaching them that God has a purpose. And this is how we act as family. We honor, we respect people. And here are the moral reasons why. Discover their love language. Let them discover your love language. Students, I'm going to say, do you know the love language of your parents? What is that? Everybody get on lovelanguages.com. Take the quiz. Find out what your love language is and begin to speak to each other in that. We're training these things because 13 to 18, you've moved from training to coaching. You're coaching. You're still the parent, but you're more of a coach. They're making some decisions on their own. And this is where a lot of parents try to get control that never had control before, but then they're teenagers, so I'm now going to put my foot down. It's almost too late. That's when that rebellion really gets going. And society will say, they're already grown. And kids will say, I'm already grown. But we've got to help them in their independence. We want to launch them out and really grown. I don't know if grown looks like this to you, but it's like when you don't need money or a bed to sleep in anymore, you're not technically grown yet. If you're still in my house, we're still together. And I'm still a coach in your life. So teach your kids that season, because you don't want 30-year-olds still in your house, taking your money and eating your food. Come on. 19 plus. This is where I remember when Pastor Dave and I moved in this with Lacey. We just became a consultant. We moved from coaching to consulting. And guess what? You back up. And 19 and above, they seek out the consultant. We don't have any right to go in and start telling them what to do at that moment. Mom and Dad, we're available for whatever you need, but you call us and we're here for you. Teach them the why behind that. So modeling this, directing consistency, creating a life-giving environment, pointing them to Jesus. And when those windows open, y'all, for you to be able to coach, to train, to consult, jump in. Especially when they're older. And I want to talk to the students in the house right now. I think it's good for you to communicate to your parents on a couple of things. Have you ever asked your parent, am I a good kid? Has it been hard for you to parent me? Could you take it if they said it? When's the last time that you asked your parents how they feel about parenting you at this moment? Ooh, come on, kids. You're old enough now. You can do that. And then you can say, you know, I want to be a blessing to you, not a weight. I'm a teenager. I don't want to be a burden to you. So how can I be better? What can I do? And then parents, don't go, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. That's the time to open that window up and say, you know, this is what I love about you. This is what we can work on. You know, I heard a story of a dad that was home. He was at the end of his day. He's at work. He's watching TV. And his daughter comes home from school and walks into him and says, they called me fat today. All my friends are saying I'm fat. And he looks at her and says, you know you're not fat. Get upstairs and do your homework. Well, then he thought about it. At breakfast the next day, she comes down. She sits down and he goes, hey, what was it that you were talking about the kids calling you fat? And she's like, never mind. He missed that window. She wanted that daddy, tell me that I'm pretty. Tell me that I'm good. Mom, tell me that I can do something great. Come on, y'all. We've only got them for a little bit. And let's put them in the right direction. Come on, y'all. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be the parent that God's called you to be. In closing, I know that this is touchy for a lot of people, and because many of you didn't have parents, and maybe your parents walked out, and maybe your kids aren't even talking to you right now, God wants you to know that He sees you, and He knows where you are, and He knows where your kids are. So begin to pray. And I want to pray today for broken relationships. I want to pray right now that we understand that relationships don't have to struggle, that God is in, wants to redeem the things that the enemy has stolen, the arrows that may be down on the ground right now, the arrows that have hit other targets and may just be shooting out aimlessly. God wants to redeem those. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father God, I thank you today that you are the God and the Father to all of us. You're the Father even to the fatherless. Lord, I pray today that your wisdom and guidance, God, was poured out on good ground today, that we heard this, Lord, from a heart that wants to be better at parenting, better at being grandparents, better at being aunts and uncles, as life group leaders, as student leadership. What, Father, that we will be all in helping shaping the heart of children. Father, forgive us of things that we've done not knowing, things that when we stepped out of anger or said things that were wrong. God, we thank you that you redeemed that. And so we resist the shame and the things the enemy would try to put and beat us down for. In the name of Jesus, we will not dwell on the past, but we look forward to the future. And we thank you, God, that the hearts of our children are in your hands. So help us direct them well. I pray for an anointing on every parent. I pray, God, for strength. I pray for endurance. I pray, God, that they will not give up, no matter how hard it may seem. But, God, that their aim will still be at the target. That, God, that they will still call on the name of the Lord. And that the name of Jesus, your power and your presence and your spirit, God, will redirect, Lord, situations. Will move into the homes. Will bring peace to those that are struggling. I pray for healing of relationships that are distorted even now, but from adult children, Lord God, to the little ones. Father, I thank you that the sons and daughters that have been strayed are coming back to the house in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that we will see the next generation alive, Lord, and aiming for the targets that you have planned for them. They will be full, strong men and women of God, able to lead our country into the things that are godly, that will move and shake darkness. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray also for those that don't know you right now, Lord, that are saying, I need Jesus in a big way, that maybe haven't made you Lord of their lives. Right now, God, I'm gonna lead a prayer. And people right now, I'm gonna lead this prayer. You just repeat after me if you need to put Jesus Lord of your lives. Come on, everybody, pray with me. Say, Jesus, I love you. I ask your forgiveness for the sin that's been in my life. Forgive me for not following after you. I surrender to you right now, today. Be Lord of my life. Cleanse me, wash me, empower me, and help me to love others as you have loved me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all, let's give the Lord praise.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.